listening to the Broadcast Basement On Demand Radio Network.
It's the podcast in the Broadcast Basement.
Welcome down to my 9-foot homemade oak bar. Pour yourself a cold one. You are listening to Bucks in the Basement. My name's Chris, and Craig here is the biggest Pirates fan you'll ever meet. Let's talk Pirates baseball now. Welcome to Bucks in the Basement.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day it's different. They change, but they don't know what they want. All they do is change, yeah, yeah, yeah. Going left, going right, travel day, travel night, that's where we'll go. No excuses, no goodbyes, no one cries, no one lies, we'll never know. Hip, hip.
Big day, because the tenders and the non-tenders have happened now. You have more guys into the free agent pool. You get another idea of how Ben Cherington at least looks at the roster to date. And I still think he is probably evolving. Like, his opinions of things are evolving. He makes a move also on Monday in which he goes and he gets a good friend of his, a guy who helped him build things in Boston. He steals him away from the Toronto Blue Jays. And things are happening. There's so much to approach. What do you want to talk about first, buddy?
Well, the first thing I want to talk about, which is probably the biggest piece of news, because I don't know that anybody's been listening to our show, but we have been calling for this since we started talking about the tenders and the non-tenders of the arbitration. Elias Diaz is non-tendered. He's a free agent. It was $1.4 million for a backup catcher.
That means you have no intention of keeping him.
No, he's gone. And that's kind of crazy to me, because I thought that, honestly, we were talking about before, Stallings should be the backup. Diaz shouldn't even be part of the team. And then Cherington actually went and did that, which was kind of crazy to me. I didn't expect it to happen. I had talked to our friend Jared Martin the last time, and I kept on telling him this is what I want to see happen. But I really didn't think they were going to pull the trigger on this one.
Yeah, you know, I think what it also shows you is that it's a robust catcher's market. The hot stove in Major League Baseball from coast to coast right now, catchers are a big commodity. We're getting deals almost on an everyday basis. From the moment the White Sox grabbed Yasmani Grandal all the way up until yesterday on Monday, Sandy Leon gets grabbed up by the Indians from the Red Sox, if I'm not mistaken, because they didn't want to tender him a deal, and the Indians were like, we'll definitely go through arbitration with him. Like, catchers are becoming like the it thing that teams are moving on early on in free agency, and this might be a new trend, because we all know now that Major League Baseball teams don't approach free agency the same way and at the same pace with the same signings at the same months that they did just a few years ago.
We had talked about before, Chris, that we were thinking that, you know, the Pirates were going to go for a stopgap, which is still a possibility. The guy that was on the top of my list, Travis d'Arnaud, got scooped up by the Braves, because the Braves are making all kinds of crazy moves now. They're trying to pick up everybody they can as quickly as they can to get the season rolling again. Pretty disappointed in that last game they played against St. Louis. And Yan Gomes, which is another target that we had talked about, also off the table. But if you're looking for one of those veteran guys who's just a kind of a stopgap, and that's what this is telling me, is that, you know, Jacob Stallings is going to be the backup. He is your backup catcher. And they're saying Elias Diaz we're completely done with. So this goes right along with what we've kind of been talking about, is that you go out and you get one of the stopgap guys. I mean, you still got Jason Castro out there. There's a few other guys you could maybe tear. I think it's Romine off of the Yankees. And there's other things that can be done.
Well, there's a ton of catchers. I mean, like, here's the thing. If you just are looking for a stopgap, you got guys like Alex Avila. You can go grab Russell Martin again. You got Martin Maldonado. Right. You got non-tender today by the Angels, Kevin Smith. He's been a guy that's bounced around as a journeyman catcher, but he's had pretty good results from time to time, and he gets hot from time to time, and pitchers seem to like him. The guy out in Seattle, Omar Navarez, he's been traded, I think, twice in the last 3 years, and they're looking to move on from him, and they've got him on the trade block because he hits really well, but, you know, with pitchers, he maybe not is the greatest guy. You have to decide what you want. I think if I'm the Pirates trying to rebuild and get better, I'm looking for the best defensive or works with pitchers type catcher that I can get, and I don't care if the guy hits 198. I mean, because in the end, he's not going to be there when you're good, and you just want to help your pitching staff get better.
Yeah, and it's a very young pitching staff. So, I mean, that's what we basically need right now, and I think that's why they kept a hold of Stallings, because last year he performed much better, had a better relationship with a bunch of the pitchers, that they were choosing him as, you know, who they wanted to have behind the plate for them. So it definitely makes sense, but it goes to my point even more, is that, okay, we get this stopgap guy, then you have Stallings, who's 29 years old, he's not like a young man, and then you have nobody in the system behind him. So that's where it comes to the point that we're going to have to, at some point, I don't know if it's going to be one of these blockbuster trades, and as in blockbuster trade, I'm talking about Starling Marte or Josh Bell or, you know, whoever it may be, Archer, Kella, that you may be trading off at some point. You have to get some sort of catcher prospect in return. You have to. I mean, I think that's like a need for the Pirates. There's nobody above Double A that has any even inkling of deserving to be in the majors in our farm system.
I thought it was interesting that you, this week, because you're running the Bucks in the Basement Twitter account, you started floating the idea of going after White Sox prospects in the attempt of dealing Starling Marte off. And I thought that was really it's an interesting thing, because we've kind of floated that around, because they now have three catchers at the major league level, and they just elevated their AAA catcher, Yermin Mercedes, to the 40-man roster so he wouldn't be grabbed off of Rule 5. They're catcher deep right now, and they have a hole in right field.
Yeah, I mean, and it was just somebody had tweeted that and brought it up, and they brought up the White Sox specifically and who they would be targeting, and they were throwing out ridiculous things like getting Andrew Vaughn, who the White Sox just drafted.
They're never going to give him up.
No, it's not happening. And then they mention, you know, Kopech, and they say Cease, and they say these names, and it's just like, and I try to shut him up by just basically saying, are we getting rid of Mitch Keller right now? Like, that would be the same thing as like Kopech or Cease being given up by the White Sox for, you know, 2 years of Starling Marte. That's never going to happen.
It's also a flooded market. The outfield position is still a flooded market. There are a lot of center fielders. There are a lot of corner outfielders that are going to be available through free agency and also through trade. You are not holding the only piece out there of Starling Marte's caliber. There are several guys out there of his caliber or above him right now that are going to be available for teams to go out and try to sign. So if you're looking to get the most out of your trade, you're probably going to sit back now and let this whole offseason develop. He's going to be in camp possibly in the spring. He may play for you for the first half of the year, and then somebody wants to go out and get him. There's going to be a point where Ben Cherington in the front office has to say, is this our best return for him? And let's go do this now before he isn't worth what we're getting offered. That's the real trick to being a GM. But I doubt a deal gets made early in the offseason or even before spring training where you deal Marte, because the market is flooded right now and teams don't like to give up assets when they could just spend money. And right now you can get enough guys like him by just spending money.
Yeah, and Ben Cherington is sitting back there, I think at this point in time, doing what a lot of us are doing, is that they're listening to, you know, what's the whispers, what's happening. There's, you know, the stuff that came out with the Mets. It was like, oh, the Mets are interested in Starling Marte. Well, there's a bunch of other teams as well, but they kind of discussed it a little bit more. And of course, then Starling Marte, everybody's read this and seen this by now, and it's a big nothing burger to me. It's absolutely nothing. He's asked by, you know, one of the reporters in the Dominican Republic, a guy named like Hector Gomez, and he's asking, you know, what do you think about like these rumors about the Mets? And he goes, if I had the power, I would leave at this point, because the caliber of player the Pirates have is not of a team ready to compete for the World Series. The Mets have everything they need to compete. he just basically answers a question. It's like, do the Pirates have the stuff to compete? No, they don't. The Mets who want me do. And he goes, it's up to them to make that decision. If the Mets want me, I know I have the ability to help them. If it happens, it's a great opportunity for me. If not, I'll continue to work hard to help my team. It's a very just generic player who, you know what, if I get traded, great. If I go to a competitor, that would be awesome. But I still have to play to keep my brand up. And that's all he was saying through any of those comments. And people basically made it seem like, oh, Starling Marte doesn't want to play here anymore. That nobody ever wants to play for the Pirates. And I'm like, that's not what the guy said whatsoever. And he was almost put on the spot. And I mean, if somebody asked me if I'm 31 years old and I want to win a World Series, and they're saying there's a team that is attempting to build a team right now, you know, to go win the World Series. I'm not saying the Mets are going to do that this year, but I mean, you go out and get Stroman at the trade deadline last year instead of selling off all your pieces. I think you're looking to do something. So he's just basically saying, yeah, if I go play for them, I'll work my butt off. If I'm still here at the Pirates, I'll work my butt off.
I think the whole thing with Starling Marte, and it's going to be the big buzz, I think, for Pittsburgh Pirate fans right now is, can we deal him? Do we want to deal him? And what could we get for him? But the problem is that Major League Baseball general managers out there right now have a lot of options where they don't have to give up any other prospects. They just have to spend money and they can go get Marcelo Zuna. They can go out and they can get a Corey Dickerson and convince themselves, even though Pirates fans will sit there and tell you, well, Marte's better. They can convince themselves based upon Dickerson's like shortened season, he extrapolates out to something comparable and I wouldn't have to give up a prospect. They can sit there and they can tell you, well, I can go out and get Nick Castellanos at 28 years old. Why would I go and trade away prospects for Marte? Cole Calhoun's a left-handed bat, which is hard to find from right field. Avisail Garcia had a 2 WAR. He wasn't that far behind Marte, and he's 29 years old. You can grab him. Yasiel Puig is standing out there. You can go and get him. And also, don't forget about that Japanese player that now has posted. His name, I want to make sure I say his name right. It's Yoshitomo Tsutsugo. And Yoshitomo is somebody that somebody's going to, they're going to say, I would rather spend the money and not give up the prospects than to go and get Starling Marte. Until some of these guys get grabbed up, I don't think you can work a deal and get at least your max. I'd be surprised you can get your max right now that you would get for him. That's why it's going to take a little bit of time. I think we have to have a Pirates fan flowchart that helps you come to the right conclusion as to what you think the Pittsburgh Pirates should do this offseason. So let's I'm going to play flowchart with you, Craig.
Okay.
And we're just going to see what direction the team should go in. So first off, do you believe the Pittsburgh Pirates will raise their payroll to that of the Major League Baseball average? About $140-some million. Dollars.
It's never going to get that high.
Okay.
It's never going to get that high.
That means you don't believe they're going to go out this year and they're going to sign Anthony Rendon? You're not going to sign Gerrit Cole? You're not going to go after Steven Strasburg, right? You're not even going after Zach Wheeler. You see how he's getting now priced from the Pirates. Pirates can't even get in that.
And Josh Donaldson right. Not coming. Oh, Moustakas just got signed.
Moustakas got signed for all that money? He got signed for $64 million over 4 years. The Pirates wouldn't give him that. Josh Donaldson is going to get so much more. Like, the market is different from last year. You look at what Yasmani Grandal got, the first big free agent that came off the board. So do you think the Pirates are raising the payroll this year or have the capacity to raise that payroll right now to compete?
No.
Okay.
It's not going to happen.
You got to just throw that out now. Okay, fine. So now you have to look at your team and you have to say, do you think the Pittsburgh Pirates have one of the top 5 to 7 farm systems in Major League Baseball?
No, they're ranked number 15 right now, and I think that might even be generous. I think it might be even a little bit lower at this point.
They do not have a lot of guys in the top 100 in the MLB
pipeline. They got three.
And here's the thing. Let's go over the teams that had just recently done rebuilds. When the Atlanta Braves, before they started like bringing guys up, they had something like 9 or 10 in that preseason before they started bringing the guys up. in the MLB pipeline.
Yeah, I think the Padres have 9 this year, don't they?
Padres have 9 this year, and I think they were at 8 the year before. The White Sox last year were at 8. I think they're at 7 right now, or maybe 6, but that's because they've elevated a few guys in the last year or so, and they got a few guys that are on the cusp. I mean, those are teams that have gone through rebuilds and are now ready to make that step, who are now out there and they're spending money and they're getting ready to take that next step. Do the Pirates have a system like that?
Not yet. Not at all. Not even close.
Okay, so here's the thing. You're only going to grab guys like that if not only do you have to hit every year with your early prospect because you have a bad record for a couple of years. Like, we remember the Astros did that. Yeah, all these teams, that's how they rebuild. The Cubs did that. They had some bad seasons. They got a couple of good draft picks. Those guys ended up being top 20 prospects right off the bat. They added those into the prospects they had. They made trades to gather more prospects because guess what? One out of every three prospects that you think are going to make it to the majors are actually going to make it to the majors and be a starting player that contributes to your team over replacement level. And that's almost generous. So you need to have like a group of them. Do the Pirates have that?
No, not anymore. They don't.
Okay. So you're not going to spend money to add guys. And you don't have the prospects right now to elevate them to be in some sort of a position to make a run like those teams that we mentioned. So what you are right now is in baseball hell. And what would have made it worse is if you had the same general manager, the same old manager, and the same brain trust running things, because you would have been in baseball hell for the next 5 to 10 years. What you have now is a guy who comes in and a new guy in charge of him that now have the ability to say, okay, this is our budget. It sucks. It's the worst budget ever, but let's figure out how we're going to do this. And you hope they're as smart as the guys over in Tampa Bay. You hope they're as smart as the guys in Oakland who are perennially in a playoff chase and making it into the postseason, who identified Marcus Semien when nobody knew who he was. And he was one of the top 3 MVP guys this year and one of the best positions in baseball at shortstop. You hope they're going to be able to do that because that's the path. There is no other path except for that. So you need to start cheering deals if somebody gets you, if somebody gives you a bunch of players for guys that aren't going to be around the next couple years when you finally have all those prospects. Marte is not going to be here. So it's time to move him. And it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if you moved on from guys like Josh Bell or something like that. If you got the right guys, don't give them away for nothing. But look at what the Red Sox did. Let's go to Charrington's old team, Craig. Let's go to his old team. When they went out and they acquired Chris Sale, who you could argue is one of the best pitchers in baseball. He didn't have a great year last year, but he still had an above-average year. I mean, the guy's incredible. He makes batters stand at the plate and just go, what is that? They had to give up several top 30 prospects in all of Major League Baseball to get him. You want to be able to do that. When the Nationals went out and got Adam Eaton, who just won a World Series ring and was a cog in that thing, to get Adam Eaton, they had to go out and give up several top prospects to pick up Adam Eaton. You want to be the team on the other end of that. And that's what you want to be, because now those prospects are getting to the majors this year or last year or next year, and those teams are getting better. And you, that's the goal. It's not, let's get a couple of guys and compete this year. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, and I think that people, I know it wasn't that long ago, but I think they've already forgotten that, you know, back in 2012, we had one of the top 5 prospect like farm systems in minor league baseball. And when those guys started getting elevated, that's when at the trade deadline or beforehand, we were trading off guys. We were picking up you know, people like Marlon Byrd to like, you know, to push us over the top, or what was going to push us over the top.
Which was stupid. You didn't have, those guys weren't good enough. The team wasn't good enough for those players. Those are bad decisions.
Yeah, but here's the thing: is people have to understand that it's getting to that point where you have to build that farm system. You have to get the players that are going to be coming up. Then at some point you have to strike, and that's the way that 90 to 95% of teams in Major League Baseball are operating at this point. Unless you're the Yankees, unless you're the Dodgers, unless you're the Red Sox, and are going out and throwing money at people at times, but even the Dodgers build their farm system. You have to do that and then find out when the right time to strike is and when you can do that to keep your window open the longest. The last time our window was maybe, some people would say 3 years because we made the playoffs 3 years in a row. I would probably say that it was probably 1.5 of those years. That was our window. It was a short window. How do we get it longer next time?
Well, the only way you get longer is if you start to spend money or if you take a different approach. I would love to see the Pirates invest. If they don't have a lot of money, the smartest thing that Cherington could do, and he would have to be in this for the long haul, he would have to say, you know what, I like Pittsburgh. Buy a house here. I'm very happy here. Okay? I'm going to go down to, you know, Iron City Brewing every once in a while and have myself one. Okay? Or what's my other one that I really like down
Penn
there?
Penn Brewery.
Penn Brewery. Oh, my God. Yeah. He wants to go down to Penn Brewery every once in a while, have some German food, and he just likes...
Throw on his lederhosen right, and just party.
He just likes doing that every couple of weeks, you know? Like, that's what you want Cherington to be like, because he's in it for the long haul, because if he finds out that he doesn't have a lot of money, then the investment has to be in instructors. It has to be in analytics. It has to be in a system that will develop young talent so that you can take guys that might be drafted in the 5th, 6th, 10th round, and you can make them good enough to make it on your team, that you could find some diamonds in the rough, that you could develop a minor league system, because you don't have the money to go out and get the big guy. And that's the only way this is ever going to work. For the owner that the Pirates have, the only way this ever works is if you are looking at long-term, how many prospects can I create? And they're not only prospects that I can use, but then there's a few guys that I'm like, yeah, they're not that good, but I can fool somebody into a trade for them. And that's what you want. You never want to get into a position again where you're trading away talent like Tyler Glasnow to pick up somebody. Okay, you never want to get in the position where you're trading away guys that actually would be high-end starters for you on your team. What you want to do is you want to have so many guys in your system that you can sit there and you can be like, well, everybody thinks this guy's good, but honestly, the other guy's like better than him, and you're able to deal that guy away. And that comes with time. And the Pirates are a team that needs to be almost completely torn down and built back up again. And that sucks. It sucks as a fan to be that way. But take away the sign stealing and the controversy surrounding the Astros. Would you put up with the bad years the Astros did when they tore it all down and brought it back up if you could get to the point that they were at over the last 4 or 5 years? And that's what you have to ask yourself. And then you have to ask yourself, do you believe this guy can figure that out? And the Astros are almost unfair because they'll actually spend money. So maybe we look at the Tampa Bay Rays or we look at the Oakland A's and we say, do we think this guy can figure out a way to get us some titles, get us some division championships, give us a puncher's chance in the playoffs, and make baseball exciting in Pittsburgh again?
I mean, I think we have to have faith in that, and I think we got to give this guy a chance because, I mean, he's got a proven track record. He's bringing in people that are, you know, Derek Shelton, he brings him in to be the manager. It wasn't like we were the only people going after him. I mean, the Mets were going after him. He interviewed in other different places, and then he's bringing in his brain trust. I got to have faith in this guy that he's gonna turn things around, but it's gonna be a difficult road, and it's gonna be me talking to a lot of people off the ledge or arguing with a lot of people on Facebook or whatever it is, because that's what I do.
You're never gonna make everybody feel good.
It's never gonna happen.
No, and the thing is, what you need to hope for is, let me ask you this right now. Would you rather the GM be the right GM or the manager be the right manager?
I'd rather the GM be the right GM.
That's all you care about right now. All you care about. Derek Shelton is probably not going to be the manager of this team when it's finally good. That's such a long shot. Think back to every team that's ever built something from the ground up. And the manager, Buck Showalter, got the Yankees almost there in the 90s. And then Joe Torre swept in and became the manager at the end. You know? I mean, this manager probably has no bearing on what's going to happen when the Pirates finally go and win the pennant again. He probably has no bearing on it whatsoever. So all you're watching is the general manager and what kind of structure he's creating, and be excited about the younger guys that are there. And I think this is why you're perfect, because you love to go down and check out all the minor league guys. You love to go to all the games. You're writing stuff right now for Sports Illustrated, Pirate Maven. I've been reading your stuff, Craig. You got all this stuff that you're doing. You're highlighting guys that might be the diamonds in the rough, and these are the guys that people need to start paying attention to.
Yeah, and that's where I get in arguments with people, because they said they're tired of hearing about prospects, and I said that's what we have right now. It's the guys that are in our system right now. The young guys are going to be the only ones that might be around when the Pirates are competitive again. And they might not even be around, because if they show up and they, you know, are a good trade bait for somebody, they might be gone too. There's a lot of guys that I like. Would I like to see them for the Pirates? Yes. If they get us somebody else in return, that's what it kind of has to start being. And that's why, you know, with Starling Marte, with Josh Bell, I love all these guys, but it's going to have to be whatever it is that's going to make our team better. And right now you have to just be looking at Ben Cherington, Steve Sanders, Keevan Graves. That's your brain trust right now. That's your GM and your assistant GMs, that if anything's going to happen positively for Pirates baseball, it's going to run directly through them.
I would say that I feel like we're right at the beginning, and I love the fact that we're a new podcast right when the Pirates are a new team. Like we're going to kind of start with the ground up. We're going to be ground up with them. We're in the basement. We're literally in the basement with the Pirates. You know? I mean, think about it. It'll be ironic 7, 8, 9 years from now when Buck's in the basement and they're good, because it'll be like, they're not in the basement anymore, but this is a team in the basement now. They're building from the foundation, from the ground up. And what I want to do is make sure that we are paying attention to every little guy that you wouldn't normally pay attention to, because those are going to be the guys that we're going to be talking about in 3-4 years. And it'll be, you know what? This could be a fun thing for a fan that likes to watch something get built. Those that want instant gratification, you might need to find another baseball team, because I don't think that's happening for you. It's going to be a very, very difficult 2020 for you if you're one of those people that gets upset when you have to get up and change the channel because the remote control's out of batteries and you lose your mind, because instant gratification is not the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Oh, it's not coming anytime soon, but I do think that it is coming.
All right, my friend. Anything else? We good?
I think we're good. I think I feel okay right now. I don't feel great. I feel
depressed. Why do I feel like it's always a therapy session with you?
Because it's the Pirates. It's the Pirate fan
be
in me,
happy.
Man.
Listen. You got rid of your general manager. You got rid of your president of baseball operations. You got rid of everybody below them. You get to grow from the ground up. You go and get a guy like Cherington, which is a really good general manager. He goes and he grabs a guy and steals him off of the Blue Jays for like a lateral move. The guy wants to be here so badly. You go and you get a guy that was interviewed by other teams to be your manager. You have pieces you can move. There's good here.
There's a lot of good. It's just going to take a lot of patience.
Yeah. I just feel like I got to hold your hand through this whole process.
you might have to. That's why I always drink beer during this. I got to drink beer to calm my nerves during this. Ugh.
All right, Bucks in the Basement. You can find us all over the place, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Make sure you follow us, and make sure if you're listening to the show, you go into whatever player that you're listening on. For example, if you're on Spotify, or if you're on iTunes, or if you're on the Podbean app or Stitcher Radio, wherever you're at, make sure that you like the show, and if you give us a high rating, if you give us a comment, that always helps. Share the show with your friends, and we would love to hear from you. There is a phone number you can call in on anytime you want. You just leave a message, and Bucks in the Basement will listen to what you have to say. So let's say you have something to say about the team. Let's say you have a trade idea. Let's say that you have something you want to dispute with us, whatever. 708-459-8406. 708-459-8406. That's a Skype number. There's no message. It just says leave a message. Just leave a message. You'll hear yourself on the show. It'll give you a thrill. You could tell your girlfriend, like, hey, that's me. That's me right there. I'm on the podcast. That's what you do. And Bucks in the Basement is found everywhere podcasts can be found, and always at bucksinthebasement.com.